It's the wrong time to catch the flu, so it's the right time for a flu shot. Flu shots are safe, easy, and available all over the city. Come on, New York, let's roll up our sleeves again. It's time to get a flu shot. To find out where you can get a flu shot, visit nyc.gov/flu or call 311.
What are we gonna do with our children? What are we gonna do to show we care? How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Masks weekly radio show on Family Matters. Mask Mothers and Fathers, Aligned Saving Kids, kids of all ages and all stages for all mental health struggles, including addiction. If you know somebody that needs a referral for a therapist, an inpatient or outpatient program, for a parent Zoom group or in-person group, please give us a call. Our number is 718-758-0400. I'll repeat the number again. If somebody wants a naloxone training, free training, free kit for naloxone, which is prevention of opioids, please give us a call. Maybe you want to jot down our number for yourself or a loved one, a neighbor, or someone you usually would sit next to in shul. Our number, 718-758-0400. I would like to welcome tonight somebody that is not a guest, but really unbelievable. 24 years he has been facilitating the Mask Parent Group on Wednesday nights. And I probably could say that 24 years consistently, with only canceling for family simchas, Baruch Hashem, and he should have many, many more. I'd like to welcome on the renowned psychologist, Dr. Ben-Zion Twersky. Thank you for coming on again on the show. And thank you for the 24 years that you have given to MASK and the MASK families to help the families by facilitating Wednesday night's group. Welcome.
Good evening. And I don't feel I need to be welcome because I'm always here.
Right. You sure are, I must say. Thank you, thank you. On behalf of all the hundreds and hundreds of parents that attend your group over the year, thousands, I could say already, probably, that have attended your support group, which is now on Zoom, of course, still. But anyone that wants to attend can call the MASK helpline, and we will give you that information. So, Dr. Twersky, it's an ongoing conversation, kids at risk, which we don't refer to them as kids at risk. We refer to them as kids in pain, kids in conflict. And I want to talk about what you're seeing as the major causes, please.
You know, people are really apt to grab at single causes. And probably if you look at 100 such cases, you're going to find 100 variants of situations. Probably if you're looking for the most common themes, the most common theme, the word that stands out is trauma. Now, we need to we need to explain that, because just, you know, using the single word makes it sound like it's something which is dismissive, and it's not. There's a reality that the environment that a kid grows up in needs to be a healthy environment, needs to be wholesome, needs to have all the elements of what genuine chinuch, genuine child raising need to be. Kids have to be nurtured so that they can mature and they can grow and they can develop themselves to the best of their capabilities. There are so many different things in life that can detract from that. And perhaps there are more now than there ever were before. We can debate that, we can discuss it, and probably have a very vibrant conversation. But when we use the word trauma, you're going to find people that are say, oh, they've had to have been sexually abused, or they had to have been beaten physically or whatever. And I'm not saying that there's any shortage of kids who have been victimized this way. As a matter of fact, the numbers are probably stunning and staggering compared to where they probably were years back. So I don't have to show and minimize that, because I think that these are severe issues. But I would really want to expand it to something a little bit more. And that is that kids grow and mature with their emotional life developing and growing into something far more complex than what it was when they were newborns. And things that threaten that, things that challenge that, are in a position of damaging that growth, and then things can go all kinds of different directions. So let me explain to you what I mean by this. And I'm gonna pick on something that's rather large, rather substantial. I can't use numbers because nobody's ever surveyed this with any kind of a scientific study. But kids require the building of their character, and they need the kinds of rewards that are appropriate for them going through these formative years. And I should not use the word reward, I should use the word reinforcement. We need to support our kids to grow through the challenges that they have. Think about it. You have a 3-year-old kid who's walking around in a crowd of adults. Now, the adults are, what, 5+ feet tall? The kid is a 3-year-old. He or she is pretty short. They're basically looking at everybody else's kneecaps. The kid cannot see the world the way that we see it. So we have to nurture them so that they continue the growth process. When we shame kids, when we embarrass them, when we degrade them and put them down, we are not contributing to them, we are damaging them. And kids need to be helped to grow up where they're healthy, their image of themselves is a positive one. And when we quash that by knocking them, we're not accomplishing anything. We're damaging them, and we're putting these kids through trauma. Trauma does not have to be an event that warrants being put onto the news headlines. Trauma is the thing that stops a kid from being able to develop their healthy perceptions of the world, healthy attitudes, and primarily a positive image of themselves, so that they see what they are worth.
Yes, so that is what they. Parents are learning in the groups. There are different levels of groups. We have Sunday night, we have Dr. Shmuel Brachfeld. Monday night, we have Dr. Debbie Ackman. Tuesday night, Dr. Trish Attia, almost as long as you're doing it. And Wednesday night, again, is Dr. Ben Sion Twersky. Some are on Zoom. One of them is in person. Anyone that wants information, feel free to call the Mask Helpline, 718-758-0400. So, Doctor, when we started Mask, and you were there from day one, you and a shout out to Chaim Winter, the therapist Chaim Winter, and both of you were facilitating groups from day one of Mask, which is 24 years ago, over 100, and we're coming close to 114,000 families reaching out for programs, therapists, referrals, inpatient, outpatient, community awareness programs. So I want to say that when we started it, I found that it was a lot of single parent families that the focus was on at the time. But you and I know that is no longer has been the case for the last 10 years minimum. What are your feelings about that?
That's very true. And I'm just thinking back to some of the parents that were coming to the groups in the very early years of Mask, who were intact families. But one of the things that stood out, and it stands out today just as much as it stood out then, perhaps even more, it's not only single parent families, it's what they would call an intact family with both parents present, but they're not on the same page. So that you have one parent who's playing good cop and lets the kid do pretty much whatever they want to, and the other parent is playing bad cop and trying to make it very difficult for the kid to go out in the evening when the kid should be home. The kid comes out late at night. The parents say, oh, we're going to lock you out. You can't come in. And being very, very difficult for the kid that's struggling. And what's primarily the problem there is that neither parent has an accurate understanding of what's going on that's behind the kid that's acting out, but they also have no clue how they can best cope with it. And you know what's been standing out in the groups when we have new group members who are coming in basically for the first, second, or third time, and we listen to how they're trying to cope with things, they're really struggling. They're really having a very difficult time because they don't understand what they should do or what they shouldn't do that's going to be effective. Now, I think we've learned after all our many thousands of cases that no two kids are going to be identical. But we do have to recognize that the bond with the parent or with the parents that kids have has to be an unshakable bond. It doesn't mean the kids aren't going to shake it. The kids are going to test limits, but we have to be in the place where we as parents are steadfast and we're not letting go of our children at all. And this is considering the fact that there are kids who talk about running away. They want to go away to this. They want to travel there. They're doing a lot of this acting out to try to push themselves away from us. We need to understand that this is not a kid that's being bad. This is not a kid who's behaving badly. Not that the behavior is positive. This is a kid who's crying out in pain. This is a kid that's saying, I hurt. Somebody comfort me. And what these kids need in the most dramatic and the most what we would consider negative behavior, the kids desperately, desperately need us to embrace them. And embracing does not necessarily mean giving a hug by opening your arms to them. Embracing means many, many other things in terms of how we relate to them. Granted, there are certain things that are very difficult for us to tolerate in our homes. If a kid's going to bring in a girlfriend or a boyfriend, that's going to be a major, major issue for us. Nobody says it's not. We're not discounting how serious of a thing this is. But we need to be in a place where we never, reject or throw away our children. And for multiple reasons, many of the kids that we're talking about, many of the kids we're talking about eventually give up this journey of theirs and they come back. And if we've broken off our connection to them, they have nowhere to come back to. And that's a really desperate issue for them and for us, because those kids can be lost for a very long time, and the damage that happens to their neshamas is unspeakable. So we need to figure out how to address them in a way that's going to be much more productive. And having parents both being supportive and on the same page is priceless, because it gives that kid a stable home to be coming back to. We're not even talking about the shalom bias between the parents. That could be a very significant issue also. But we're talking about the parents, their approach to the kid has to be an embracing one. And we need to have a home that should be able to boast of how stable it is, so that the kids can be, the kids have a place where they want to come back to. In the long run, kids are not looking to get away with everything. They are not looking to chase after all their desires and their tithes. The kids are mostly looking for a place where they can be stable and they can be secure. And we have to make homes into that kind of an environment for them.
Thank you. Dr. Tversky, you brought up the issue of a smartphone. I would like to expand on that. There are many people that don't want their family members to have smartphones. And there is an organization out there, shout out to the MUST organization, that helps families and elementary age children to push off giving them, which is a wonderful, wonderful organization working hard with ambassadors in the school, parents involved. What would you like to say about the dangers of a smartphone, please?
You know, the smartphone opens up an entire world in the palm of the hand that's holding it. And it's not necessarily a great thing. It's not a great thing for adults of any age. And it's not a great thing for kids of any age. The difficulty that we have is that there's certain things we can ban and we can remove from the community completely. And there's things we can't. Can you picture somebody opening up smack in the middle of Borough Park or Williamsburg or Muncie or any of the high concentrated neighborhoods, Lakewood? Could you picture somebody opening up a non-kosher butcher shop that's going to sell chaza? It's just unheard of. We don't want these things in our community. And so I understand everybody's revulsion to this. I mean, it accesses, you know, people once upon a time, if they wanted to have dealings with schmutz, had to travel somewhere and go somewhere for it. Today, you can bring the schmutz from anywhere on the planet into the palm of your hand. And there's the delusion of how secret our activities are online, whether it's the computers on our desks, whether it's our laptops or other devices or our phones. We think that everything is secret. It's not. There are several situations in the media over the last couple of years of efforts to try to procure all kinds of communications that went on online. And the FBI, for instance, can get after everything. So if we believe that what we're doing is secret, it's not. And what we have now is that it has become so convenient and so easy that we no longer have the challenge of having to take large steps to be able to get into trouble. We can take tiny little baby steps. we can just move our finger a little bit with the touchpad of the screen, or moving the mouse a little bit. It's literally effortless. And the challenge is that the things that are coming over in digital format are extremely enticing and extremely addicting, so that the people who do that get so attached to it that all of our efforts to try to yell and scream, don't, all they did do is that they hide it better. So the destructiveness of this is that literally our digital communications become number one. And when number one supplants the relationship to a spouse or the relationship to a parent, we've got a very desperate situation. And I cannot tell you how many kids have told me, I'm trying to talk to my mother, I'm trying to talk to my father. They're busy with their phone. I have couples that have no relationship with each other because they're busy with their phones. And it's not even relevant whether they're doing improper things or not, but the addictive quality of these devices with the digital communications is really, really significant, and it gets in the way of everything. So I see good reason why to limit or even block kids from having smartphones, and maybe even having cell phones altogether. And I'm not going to address the safety issue. At the same time, we have to know what the battles are that we should be choosing. And occasionally that's not the battle to choose.
Well, I know that you have given advice to many over the years not to start with the cell phone, the battle of the cell phone, because ideally you want to get the client, the person that is struggling, into therapy and to work with a clinician that could help with the bigger picture, not only the cell phone when you have a struggling teen. Let's talk about parents also. I mean, I just want to go back to the cell phone one more minute and say that parents, usually their first reaction is, I'm taking away your phone. And that is the worst thing anyone can do when a child is acting out. Because if you think they're acting out now, wait until you take away the phone, and then see when they're in the middle of the night, left through a window, and you find out at 4 a.m. they're not even home, and you try calling them and realize the phone is ringing in your pocketbook because you took away their phone. So no, taking away the phone is not the first thing to do. Dr. Twersky, let's talk about boundaries and chutzpah, disrespect. The parents do come on at the beginning with, what do you mean? I need to set boundaries. I need to set curfew. My child is chutzpahdik. I got to punish them. How does that work?
You know, the discussions about punishment are potentially very broad subjects, because we believe that we are teaching them right from wrong by punishing them. And besides the fact that it doesn't work that way, what we are really teaching them is, you are irritating me because I made a rule that you're not following. Therefore, I'm going to get back at you. And generally, kids take punishment that way. There is a degree to which you teach a kid to inhibit certain behavior. But our job as parents and as mechanchim, as the adults raising children, is not about figuring out how we're going to control their behavior. It's how we're going to teach them. And if we make consequences for our children that are educational and teach them something, we're accomplishing something. If what we do is succeed in inhibiting their behavior, we have taught them nothing. Most of us are not going to run out into traffic on a highway. You know why? Because we understand that you don't do it because it's dangerous. We're not going to not do it because a parent said something to them. There's there's a point at which we need to be teaching and not just controlling. And that's why punishments very often do not work. And it is a lot more common than we think that what we're doing as punishments are actually more degrading, and they have more of a negative outcome.
So what would you say to parents, the best thing to do when they are ready to pick up a phone, when that's courageous enough to pick up a phone and dial MASK to attend a group? What are the benefits of attending your group or any of the MASK Bearing group or any organization's groups that they offer?
One of the first things is that the parents experience when they connect is that they're not alone in their misery. And the loneliness of it is a really difficult thing. I mean, you're not going to walk into shul and turn to the people sitting next to you and say, "Hey, guess what? My kid didn't come home last night. Guess what? My kid came home with a girlfriend or a boyfriend, or they got tattoos, or they put on some earrings and they got some piercings." You're not going to do that. And at the same time, it's really, really painful for you. What are you going to do with knowledge like that and the feelings that you have about it? You need to have somebody in your court that will listen to you, that you can vent, but you can also have somebody who understands what you're going through so that you don't have to be alone in it. People suffer when they're lonely with this, and they need to break out of that. And having a peer group, a support system, is incredibly valuable.
And I would just like to add, Dr. Twersky, that our listeners understand that confidentiality is number one at MASK. And there are parents that when they call, they say, "Well, I don't want my camera on," you know, in a Zoom parent group. And we explain to them that people are sharing their family struggles. They need to see who they're sharing it with. And they are hoping you will be confidential about their family struggles and they about yours. So confidentiality, again, is number one concern at MASK for anyone and everyone that calls MASK, whether it's for a referral or for the parent group. Walter Twersky, for coming on once again, and I cannot thank you enough for all that you do, facilitating the groups 24 years and all the parents that you help all the time during the week. So thank you so, so much. And I hope we get to hear more simchas from you.
Amen. Thank you so much.
And I want to wish everyone a very good evening, a beautiful Shabbos. And always remember, hang in, hold on, and virtually for now, hug tight. If you want a group, please call 718-758-0400. Please go on to maskparents.org so that you can donate online. We can continue with our programs helping families. Thank you and have a good night. Tonight's show is in memory of Rivka Bas Yisrael. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Easterling from the New York City Health Department. I know some of you are still deciding whether to get the COVID-19 vaccine or not. I hear the concerns at community events, on social media, and even from my own family and friends. And I am hoping that in conversations with people you trust, that you are getting the information you need to make an informed decision. But I continue to be concerned about the high number of people who remain unvaccinated. And we know the reality that communities of color were disproportionately affected by COVID-19. Yet, we see some of the same disparities with who has gotten vaccinated. People of color continue to have some of the lowest vaccination rates, increasing the chances that our communities and our loved ones will be hospitalized or die. If you haven't gotten your vaccine, have a conversation with someone you trust so that we can stop being the most affected, but the least protected against COVID. Thank you.